Take your Bible this morning, if you will, and open it up to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 this morning. I will say this, Brother Dunbar will be preaching for us tonight, so I hope you'll come and hear him speak. And so that'll be tonight, 6 o'clock, 6 o'clock service. And if it's something you're not used to doing, it's okay to break out of the mold and come on Sunday night, okay? Nothing wrong with that. Acts chapter 5, if you would. We're going to begin reading in verse 1, Acts chapter 5, verse 1. The Bible said, "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." Amen. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yea, for so much." Then Peter said unto her, "How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out." Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Once again, the book of Acts gives us the history of the early days of the New Testament church. And it contains this account of two members of that church who thought to use the church for their own benefit, their own profit. Well, it didn't work out too well, all right? Didn't work out too well. Now, you might read this passage and think there's no application for me and you know, us, because we live in a different day. And we do live in a different day. God does not strike people dead for lying to him. If he did, there'd be a lot more funerals. Because, man, a lot of people make promises to God that they do not intend to keep. All right? So if God still struck people dead for lying to him, there'd be a lot of problems. All right? So we look at these 11 verses and say, what is there for us? I believe the message that's there goes contrary to the old Burger King advertisement. You remember the Burger King advertisement that said, "You can have it your way at Burger King," all right? Well, it's okay with me if you go to Burger King and have it your way at Burger King. But you can't have it your way in the realm of Christianity. Ananias and Sapphira thought they could. It was their thought, "We can have it our way." Hey, if you will, they thought they could have their cake and eat it too. They thought, "Hey, we can have it our way. We can do this thing our way, and it'll work out." But you ever think what motivated them to do what they did? Why in the world did they decide to do what they did? Why did they decide to come and sell? They had some land, some property. They sold some of it, and they came, and they presented this to the church as if, "We're giving you all that was paid for this property. We're giving it all to you." Now, they weren't giving it all, but that was the way they portrayed it. So what made them do it? Well, back up, if you will, into chapter 4. Chapter 4, look at verse 34. "Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. You said, what are you getting at? I believe they were motivated to do what they did because they had seen what others had done. They had heard, they had seen that others had done this kind of thing, and then they watched as God honored those who gave. By the way, God always honors and blesses people that give, all right? He always does that. Now, let me stop right here. I was going to say it a little later, but let me stop right here. I don't want you to get to thinking I'm not listening, because he's going to talk about giving. So I'm just not going to pay attention. There's a lot of people that get rankled when a preacher talks about giving. Be honest with you, the message has nothing to do really with giving. The message today doesn't have to do. You see, the problem with Ananias and Sapphira was not that they didn't give at all. Had nothing to do with it. The problem wasn't what they gave or what they didn't give. The problem was the heart problem. All right? And I want you to see that, all right? They coveted the honor and the respect, the position that had been given to those that were real, genuine, and sincere Christians. I mean the ones that were the real deal, okay? People today, we don't like Christians, a lot of people don't like Christians because they focus on the ones they know and call hypocrites. And if that's what you are, you give a bad name to the rest of us, all right? You cause people to think badly about others. There's people that don't like preachers because some preachers really mess up royally. And boy, they take that same brush and they paint every preacher with that. That's not fair. It's not fair that every Christian is looked upon as a hypocrite, because there are some. But hey, here they were. They wanted to get in on what the real Christian was getting in on. And they thought they could have the same thing that the real, genuine Christians had, but they thought they could do it their own way. Now, they were wrong. They were wrong. And plenty of folks today are also wrong. Now, I don't know if God's going to kill them. That's his business. My business is preaching the truth to you, all right? So it's not my business to do it. We're not going to kill you if we found out you're not doing what you should, all right? That's God's. You said, well, what was wrong? I want you to see this. What was wrong with their way? Number one, their way was the cheap way. Their way was the cheap way. Now, once again, don't miss this. God didn't demand. God never demanded that they give all the price of the land. Never. Notice what Peter said to him in verse 4, when we read just a while ago in chapter 5. He said, whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? He said, it was yours, it belonged to you. But he said that you did something that was wrong. And the thing that was wrong is not that you didn't give it all right? Those who did give it all did so because they made a conscious choice to do that. Amen. Hey, I tell you what, every one of you that's given in the offering today, whether it be in the Sunday school and this offering was just a while ago, you did that by choice. Amen. You did that by choice. Nobody held you up. Nobody held you up at gunpoint and said, hey, put it in. Nobody threatened you. If you don't give, when you go outside, we're going to meet you. Nobody threatened you. Hey, it's free will. You give because you wanted to do it. That was the case with everybody here. Those who gave because they wanted to. They had a dedicated heart and said, we're going to give because we want to do that. Now, Ananias and Sapphira was a different case. They wanted credit for giving it all, but they wanted that credit at a sale price. You with me? They wanted that credit at a sale price. Their way, if you will, was to lie to the Holy Ghost. That's what Peter said to him there in verse 3. He said, Satan hath filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost. So their way was to lie. Can I say this? It's a lot easier to say than it is to pay. A lot easier to say than it is to pay. That's why some people, you maybe know people that if they come to borrow money from you, you wouldn't lend it to them. They said, no, I did that before and you never paid me back. It's a lot easier to say than to pay. Can I say this to you? If you have a friend and you lend money to them, if you're wise, you look at it as a gift. You look at it as a gift. Because if it's a real friend that you have, you got to decide, okay, am I going to lose that friendship over X amount of dollars? You just might as well look at it as a gift. You say, well, I expected them to pay it back. That's okay, but you better look at it as a gift, all right? So here they are, Ananias and Sapphira. They wanted the sale price, if you will. They lied to the Holy Ghost. They tried to cut corners. They still, though, expected the full blessing of God. You with me? The problem was, hey, we're going to get what we want, but we're going to do it our way. We're not going to do it the way God would have us to do it. We're going to lie about it. Hey, do you understand? Had they have just taken the part that they gave and said to this is what we want to give, they could have done that. Nobody, they didn't have to come and say, this is it, man, this is what we sold the land for, this whole thing. They didn't have to do that. But they were expecting to get something and cutting corners to get it. Listen, in the realm of Christianity, you don't want to cut corners in your Christian life. You want to be the genuine thing, all right? But their way, all right, their way was the cheap way. Hey, their way was the way was to deceive. They wanted to deceive people. They thought they could deceive their fellow church members. They thought, well, we can deceive the apostles. The apostles were members of that church there at Jerusalem. They thought we can deceive them, deceive the other members, you know. Hey, can I say this to you? Pretty much, it's easy to deceive men. But you have to be careful about it, all right? You know, you can deceive fellow church members if you want to. You can tuck your Bible under your arm, come to church, open it up, and sing loud when the singing time is. Hey, by the way, I'm in favor of singing loud. You can sing loud. You can make a show of giving. We used to have a young guy, teenager, that he would sit on the row and towards the back in church, and he'd pull out money and lay it out on the pew so his teenage friends see how much money he had. Trying to impress somebody, all right? Trying to impress somebody. Hey, you can do that. You can pull out that $100 bill if you want to, wave it around so everybody see. Don't wave it too fast. They won't be able to see it's $100, all right? So, but you can wave that around. When the offering plate comes in, you can say, how about that? Drop it in. You can do that. You can do that. Hey, you can say amen during the preaching. You can do that. Ladies, if you want to, you can get out your hanky and wave it, all right? Woo! You can shout a while. But I'm going to tell you something. Don't be sure. Don't be so sure you fooled your fellow church members. Because maybe they've heard you talk. Maybe they saw you on Friday night. Maybe they saw where you were. Maybe they heard you arguing with your wife. Bad mistake to look at your wife at a time like that, all right? I'm just kidding. But, you know, maybe it may be heard. Hey, I'm not talking about just a calm argument. I mean, you know, you were going at it. Maybe your kids told on you. Kids have a wonderful way of doing that. You know, they... My pastor friend pastored up at Cornerstone Baptist Church in Gainesville. And they started a Christian school. And he said, now, if you don't want us to find out what's going on at home, don't send your kids to school. Because kids tell everything. I mean, they just lay it out there. And now, they don't always see it the right way, but they tell. Hey, I'm just telling you, just don't think you can deceive people as easy as you think you can. But the question is, do you think they really thought they could deceive God? Yes, they did. I believe this. I believe plenty of folks still do. They make claims that they cannot back up. They act like God owes them something when they get into difficulties. Hey, their way is to deceive. There's still a lot of Christians today that think they can deceive God. Blows my mind, but there's people that way. Hey, their way was not only the cheap way, the way to deceive, but it was also the way to conspire and connive. Notice what the Bible said there. The Bible, look in verse 9. Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together? Said, y'all got together. Boy, you know, husbands and wives ought to be together on things. That's a good thing. But, you know, when one of them thinks up this plan, now we don't know who came up with the idea. We don't know whose idea it was. We do know that the Bible says his wife was privy to it there in verse 2. Peter said, y'all have agreed together to do it, all right? We don't know whose idea it was. Well, can I say this? If it's his idea, then he said, hey, let's get together. Let's sell this property we're planning to sell. And let's give part of it to the church, but let's claim we're giving it all like Barnabas. Let's make that claim. Hey, a good godly wife would have said, wait a minute now, Ananias, what are you thinking? Listen now, honey, that'd be a mistake. You know we'll get into problems because of that. If it's his wife's idea, Ananias should have said, now, sweetheart, I understand. We'd like to have that prestige. But wait a minute. God knows what we're doing. Somebody should have said something. How sad that it is this couple that at least one of them didn't stand up and say, hey, that's not right. Somebody should have. Hey, ladies, if your husband's fixing to go and do something wicked, you're to stand up against it. You ought to let him know, no, that's the wrong thing to do. Men, if you know your wife's fixing to do something, you ought to stand up against it. Don't go for it. Hey, their way was to conspire and connive. Hey, they had a plan. They agreed on that plan. You with me? They had a plan. They agreed on that plan. And they carried out that plan. It was a deceiving, deliberate, scheming plan to fool other people. Can I say this? Anytime you plan to lie and deceive, you're going the wrong way. You're headed down a very dangerous, dangerous road. You with me? That's especially true when you're lying to God and deceiving Him. Don't for a moment think, I can get away with that. Don't come to that point in life and say, hey, we're going to do this. He said, preacher, why can't I have it my own way? Number one, because your sin will always find you out. Always. Numbers chapter 32, verse 23 says, be sure your sin will find you out. It's going to come to light. It's going to be revealed. You said, nope, got it buried. Nobody will ever know it. Yeah, they will. Yes, they will. It'll happen. You said, I know of somebody and they never caught. They haven't been caught yet. I'm telling you, be sure your sin will find you out. The truth of the matter is, one thing it'll do is it'll make you be looking over your shoulder all the time. I remember as a kid, if I did something wrong, and I knew it was wrong, and I thought, well, it was hidden. But every time my mom or dad would call my name, I'd flinch, thinking, boy, they caught me. Hey, it was a good thing when it finally came to light and had to pay for it and get it over, all right? Hey, you be sure. You can't have it your way as a child of God because you can be sure your sin's going to find you out. Number two, there's a price to pay when you go all out for God. There is a price to pay. Mark it down. Hey, listen, I believe God's people are to do what the Lord Jesus Christ said and called upon his disciples to do. He said we're to take up our cross and come follow him. Hey, there's a price to pay. If you're going to live for God, you're going to pay a price. Somewhere down the line, there's going to be a price to pay. You may miss a promotion. You may miss out on some praise. You may lose some friends. There's going to be a price to pay if you live for God. If you truly live for him, you can guarantee it, you're going to pay a price. Everybody did. Everybody. Hey, Joseph paid a tremendous price for a godly life that he lived. Paid a tremendous price. The Apostle Paul paid a great price for the life that he lived. You will pay a price, all right? If you want all that God has for you, then you're to be willing to give it all to him. Amen. Give it all to him. Once again, I don't want you thinking money. I want you thinking you.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You. If you want all that he has to give you, then you're to be willing to give everything that you've got to him. Say, Lord, here I am. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Now, our problem is we fear what he might want us to do. We always have the idea God's will is always diametrically opposed to mine. We're always afraid he's going to want me to do something I don't want to do. Part of that is fueled by preachers. Because most of you, if you've been in church for many years, you've heard some preacher, some evangelist testimony and saying, God called me to preach and I ran from that call. You're looking at one preacher, I was standing there saying, would you pick me? I wanted God to choose me. Now, the crazy thing about it is you're looking at a guy that I was a very shy, timid, introverted person, but I wanted God to use me. Hey, I'm not disappointed. I don't struggle through life looking around going, boy, what I could have been if I just wasn't a preacher. I don't look, well, what I could have had if I just didn't have to preach. Man, I could have had. Man, I don't look at it that way at all. I look at it and saying, thank God what God's given to me. Man, above and beyond anything I deserve, I'm so glad God called me to preach. I was willing to give it all to him. Hey, if you want all that God has for you, you got to give it all. There's a price. There's a price. Hey, if you're going to be real, if you're going to be real as a Christian, genuine, there's got to be some devotion. There's got to be some dedication. Dedication. I believe with all my heart, none of y'all, the alarm clock went off this morning, or the light got in your eyes from the sun up. None of you this morning jumped out of bed and said, hot dog, we get to go to church today. He said, well, I'm sure you did, preacher. No. My wife, she sets the alarm clock. I'm usually awake when it goes off. But when it went off, I didn't go, hot dog, it's Sunday. I didn't jump out of the bed, do a little dance around the bedroom. He said, what'd you do? I laid in the bed thinking, how much longer can I get by with laying here and still get there on time, you know? Yeah, man, just like everybody else. But if you're going to be real, you're going to be the genuine thing, there's got to be some devotion. There's got to be some dedication to the point where you realize and you say, hey, this is what I do. You said, why are you going to church on Sunday? It's because of what Christians do.
Amen.
So why do you go on Sunday night? It's because a real Christian, a genuine article, he goes on Sunday night. So why do you go back on Wednesday night? Because I don't have anything else to do. No, because that's what I ought to do, all right? That's it. It's not any of those other things. There's got to be some devotion. There's got to be some dedication. And the times that you honestly get up and say, man, I don't really want to go. I don't feel like it. I'd just like to lay here. Kick yourself out of bed and go on and go, all right? Mama's not there anymore to yank you out, so you got to yank yourself out, all right? Hey, why can't you have it your way? Because as Daniel chapter 2 and verse 28 says, there's a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven. He guides in the affairs of men. I want to tell you something. He's going to have His way. He's going to have His way. He's going to work out His will. Smartest thing for you and I to do is get in on it with Him. And say, hey, I want to be a part of that. That's what I want to be in on. I want to be on that place. I want to be in there. I want to be there where God's blessing. I want to be there where the blessings are being poured out. Hey, folks, I'm going to tell you the truth. There's nothing like being where God is blessing. There's just nothing that compares to it, all right? Nothing even comes close. But if we get in that place where God's blessing, that's where you want to be. That's where you want to be. You ever heard the story about, you know, and it's been on the news, a legitimate thing. Some way or another, there's a problem with the armored car and the money's just flowing out the back, you know. And it's on the road. Let's face it, you said, I wish I'd have been following him that day. Man, I wish I'd have been in on that. Just wish I'd have been there. We're talking, there's a kid on the bus route, one of the kiddos on the bus route, and they're talking about finding money in the apartment complex. And I forget now how much she wound up finding, but it's a pretty good amount. And some of it was lodged in a bush, you know. She just happened to be there. You said, man, I wish I'd have been that one. You know, we hear people talk about finding money or this, and we thought, well, it's had to have been me. Well, hey, don't you want to be where God's pouring out the blessings? And there's things a lot better than money. Boy, the goodness of God, the peace of God. Being able to lay down in your bed at night with no worries, no frets, but just peace. And that doesn't mean you have no problems. But it's just knowing God's going to take care of it. That's a blessing from God. That's a blessing from God. To know that the Lord is going to be right there with you. Going to take care of you. Why? Because I've been living and doing what He said. Hey boy, you just can't beat it. By the way, let me say this. You cannot hike your way to heaven. He said, preacher, what do you mean? I mean, you can't get there your way. You cannot do it. If you get to heaven, it's going to be through the door. There's only one. There's only one. That's it. Nowhere else. If you get to heaven, it's going to be through the one who said, I'm the way. He said that in John chapter 14. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hey, that's it. If you get to heaven, you're going to have to go through Him. If you get to heaven, it's going to be not through the church, it's going to be the way of the cross. The way of the cross. I'm always amazed at people that I talk to, that, and I ask, I said, are you going to go to heaven? Yep, pretty sure I would. I said, why are you going to go? Well, because I'm a good person, I try to do good things. I turn around and ask that person, why did Jesus die? Oh, to pay for my sin. No. Because what you just said is you're going to heaven because you're good. Amen. If you can get to heaven because you're good, no reason for Jesus to die. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. If you get to heaven, it's going to be through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to have to be that old bloodstained way. It's not going to be your way. You can't have your way. You just can't do it. Now, we live in a day where everybody wants their way. Man, I've never seen the beat. And everybody thinks, well, it's going to be my way. Well, maybe it is at your house, but you can't have your way when it comes to God. You can't do it. If you think you can, you're deceiving yourself. God's not deceived. You might as well not be, all right? If you think you can, you're going to wind up where you didn't plan to go. That's what's going to happen to you. Can I tell you this? Ananias and Sapphira came to church that morning. They weren't planning to be buried that day. They weren't planning for that. But that's where they wound up, all right? That's where they wound up. Hey, there's no shortcut to the blessings of God. You can't shortcut your way there. You can't cut corners and win the approval of God. Now, you're here. You you've made a profession of faith. There's been some time in your life where you made a profession of faith and you said, I've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Folks look upon you as a believer. Yet, your life is compromised. You know it. You know it. Maybe it's rebellion. Maybe it's disobedience. Maybe some other sin that is in your life. I want to tell you, you're headed down a dangerous road. It's the only thing I know to say. You're headed down a dangerous road. It's time this morning to get right before God has to intervene. Ananias came. He said, yep, that's how much we sold it for. We're giving it all. He died. 3 hours later, his wife shows up. You know, if her conscience would have gotten to her and the conviction would have come, then I believe it was probably there if she was saved. She could have said, when Peter said, did you sell that property for so much? She could have said, well, Peter, no, that's really not what we did. She wouldn't have died. See, there was time to make things right. I believe this. I believe God always gives us time to make things right with Him. I believe He gives us a chance. Listen, what I've preached this morning may not apply specifically to you, but there is in your heart and in your mind the realization, hey, preacher, there's something in my life that's messed up and it's not right. And this is the opportunity God's given you to get it right. You can make it right. You're saying, preacher, are you saying if I don't make it right now, I'll die on the way home? Nope. But I'm saying you're walking a very dangerous road. Why take the chance? Hey, you're living so God's hand of blessing's not on you. Oh man, I want His blessing on me and I want it on you too. There's something wrong and it needs to be made right. Would you make it right today? Would you make it right? You say, do I have to come tell you? No. No, I can't do it for you. You say, what I need to do, what you need to do is, you need, when we give the invitation, you need to come forward. You need to kneel here at one of these steps. Can't kneel, have a seat on the front pew. And you need to confess to God what's wrong. And you need to ask for God's forgiveness. And you can get that. You said, how do you know? Because He said, if you'll come, He'll forgive you. He said, if you'll ask, I'll answer. He said, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what He's saying. You can come. Hey, don't you want the blessing of God in your life? Well, preacher, I'm doing all right just the way it is. Okay. But don't you want the blessing of God? Think how much better it could be. How much better it could be if you'd just get right with Him. Listen, don't walk out of here this morning without making things right. Don't worry about what somebody else is going to think. The real, genuine folks that are right with God, you know what they're going to think? They're going to think, glory to God. What a blessing. If somebody walks the aisle in church that I've been praying for, I don't say, well, it's about time. No, sir, it's thank God. Thank God. Lord, help them. Lord, help them. I want the best for you. Ananias and Sapphira did not have to do what they did. You can get God's blessings, but it's up to you. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. There's never been a time in your life where you can say, that's the day, that's the place, I was born again. Then would you make this the day and this the place? He said, preacher, what do I need to do? If you'll just walk down the aisle, I'll meet you here at the front. You stick your hand in mine and say, preacher, I need to trust Christ. Amen. And we'll have somebody take the Bible, open it, and just go through the scriptures just to make sure you thoroughly understand. so you can get born again. Don't walk out of here lost. Hey, Christian, don't walk out of here not right with God. This is the time. This is the place. Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning because we're needy people. Lord, oftentimes we mess up. Lord, we do dumb things. We make foolish mistakes. Dear God, would you help us to take care of it today? Would you help us to make it right this morning? Help us to do what we should. Lord, if there's one that needs to be saved, would you help them to come today and trust Christ as their Savior? Christians, out of your will, would you help them to come? Get right with you today. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.